story told, I'm not quite sure how true it is, about a man and his wife who used to go to church fairly regularly. And the lady was a little bit more enthusiastic about going to church than her husband, but nonetheless he would go along. But on one occasion, for some reason, the lady was unable to go. I don't know if it was ill health or whatever, but she was unable to go. But the husband, nonetheless, still went, albeit perhaps somewhat reluctantly. And his wife was disappointed at not having had the opportunity to go to the church, to the chapel. So around the lunch table afterwards, she said to her husband, "You know, well, what was the sermon about?" He was rather disinterested, but he said, sin. It was about sin. The wife was expecting a little bit more than just that in response, so patiently she waited a little time, and then she said, what did the minister have to say about sin? Oh, he was against it, was her husband's reply. Now, this morning's sermon is about sin. Now, it is true that as a church pastor I am against it. But I hope you'll get a little bit more from the sermon than just that. It's this passage in 1 John, especially the last six verses of 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through to verse 10, is all about sin. If you look through it, you can see the word sin itself is used numerous times. And other phrases that effectively are talking about sin are also used. It talks about walking in darkness. It talks about not practicing the truth. It talks about unrighteousness. All words that in effect are still talking about this idea of sin. The wrong that we do, the way that we do that which God has said is wrong, that offends him, that is contrary to his words. Why is it that John so quickly in this letter plows straight into this teaching about sin? We've already found, as we've looked at the earlier verses in 1 John, that this is a letter that has been written to deal with false teaching that was around at this time. And people were trying to get the Christians that John was writing to believe things that are not true, to live a life in a way that they shouldn't have been living their lives. And John is writing to combat that. And one of the problems was in the area of sin. Some of the false teaching was around, was talking about the nature of sin and the Christian's relationship with sin. And what was being taught was wrong. And so the Apostle John writes this letter, and right from the outset, he's keen to talk about sin. You see, 1 John is all about what a Christian really is. What does it mean to be a Christian? It deals with that question. So if I could personalize it a little bit more closely, when we read 1 John, what we should be asking is the question, well, in the light of what the Apostle John has to say here, am I a Christian? Am I making the mistakes that some people at this time were making? Misunderstanding what it means to be a Christian. Is my view of sin in line with the Apostle John's? Or is it perhaps even in line with the first teachers of John's day? It's interesting, if you look through the passage, you will see some words that I use three times. Three times John uses the phrase, if we say we, and then he goes on. It is in verse 6, in verse 8, and in verse 10. You see, what he's saying is this, is not that he would have been saying those words. Those are the words that those who were trying to get get the Christians to go alive were saying. And he's highlighting this false teaching and saying, look, you know, if we were to say what they were saying, this is what that really means. And he points out the dangers of the false teaching. Now, there are three things that were being promoted, three of these aspects of false teaching about sin that are being promoted. And you'll see on the sheet them in front of you. First of all, we say we know God, but we walk in darkness. John says that's not light, and we'll talk about that. The second one is that we say that we don't sin now as a Christian. And John deals with that as well. And then finally, we say that we have never sinned, which is the last one in verse 10. And John says, no, that's not light either. And he connects each of these others. What I want to do this morning is to spend a little bit of time going through each of them and looking at what John has to say about each of these views, each of these teachings about sin. But especially then, and importantly, look at what he had to say on a positive slant between each of these aspects of false teaching. Because although at first this may seem sad and depressing, thinking about sin, oh, another sermon on sin, last thing we could do with this Sunday morning. Well, actually, it does bless us. Because when we think about sin, we have to think about the answer to sin. And we'll be looking at that at the end as well. So first of all, the first aspect of false teaching about sin that was around in John's day, we say that we know God, but we walk in darkness. Verses 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you've ever had a conversation with someone, and maybe you've talked about the fact you're the Christian, and their response, perhaps a little bit aggressively, is, oh, Christians, we're all just a bunch of hypocrites. I'm sure you have had that conversation. You've had any number of conversations with people. Well, maybe they'll be too polite to say it to your face, but I'm sure you've certainly come across that idea that Christians, oh, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Now, I think that is, in the main, spectacularly unfair. It also is based upon a misunderstanding of what a Christian is, above everything else. But John here accepts far people who call themselves Christians, but to be honest with you, they really are just hypocrites. But his point is, they're not really Christians at all. He says that. He says in there, you know, if we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie. We're claiming to have fellowship with him, claiming to have fellowship with Christ, but actually, that's not true. We are lying. Who is he talking about? Who are these people who are walking in darkness? Who are the people who claim to be Christians but continue habitually, that's constantly, and without any unease, without a sense of conscience kicking in, to sin? If you know what God's word says about a particular issue, they're quite happy to agree it's wrong, it's sinful, but I'm just going to carry on, and I don't care. And John says, If that's an attitude, that tells us, that shows to us, that they're just walking in darkness. They don't truly know God. They don't truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because true Christians walk in the light. They've been enlightened by the Spirit. They understand and they have experienced the cleansing that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They know fellowship with God. They know fellowship with his people. And because of this, they can't habitually sin without repenting of that sin. Now, it is really important we make this point and we emphasize this and we understand this. He is not here saying, unless you're perfect, you're not a Christian. And we'll see in a minute that he definitely isn't saying that. Far from it. He's not referring to those who are, you know, imperfect, those who occasionally sin. He's not even talking about those who have perhaps a besetting sin, a sin that they keep on doing, but whenever they fail, they respond with contrition and repentance. He's not speaking about them. He's talking about those who continue to sin again and again, and they just do not care. And there's no sense of guilt that kicks in through the action. In the original language, in the original Greek, there's an emphasis on the fact that this is something that is habitual. This is something that is happening time and time and time again. It's an ongoing lifestyle choice. Are you a Christian? Have you met with God? The answer is yes. Your beliefs will have changed, but more than that, your behaviour will as well. That's what John is here saying. You will have been changed. You will have been transformed by God. And it will be evident. When you meet Jesus for the first time, he gives you a new heart. You have new desires. You have new motivations. The things that used to be your reason for living no longer seem as important. You have new goals, new ambitions, new desires. The things that were attractive to you aren't anymore. Things that actually you weren't bothered about before suddenly become important and valuable to you. And you desire them. He changes the life. Nothing all at once. Gradually, God begins a work in you. You're becoming a new creation in Christ. And that's John's point. If you're a Christian, that becomes evidence. And if it's not evidence, if we just carry on sinning and we don't care, then you have to question, well, am I really a Christian at all? Have I really experienced salvation? If you think about it, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? You know, we're talking here about the idea of there being a Christian who lives in the darkness and who hates the light. You know, saying, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus. I follow him, I submit to him, but actually I'm going to ignore him. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to constantly live in rebellion against him, disobeying him, hating him even. It makes no sense. And John says, look, if people are saying that this is all right for the Christian, no, it's not. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet our lives do not show that at all, then we're lying. We don't really know him. Secondly, we see the other false teaching that comes across, and that is that when we say that we don't sin now, in verses 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the second aspect of false teaching about sin that John is dealing with here is the idea that it's possible to completely overcome sin now. That it's possible to achieve perfection. Now, bearing in mind that the third point we're going to make in a minute, the point actually has been made here is as a Christian to achieve perfection. Recognizing that maybe we sinned in the past, but now, no, not anymore. You know, I'm the finished article. I have now reached perfection. If you remember what we said about some of the false teachers on earlier occasions, they had this idea of being slightly above everyone else in terms of their intellect, in terms of their knowledge. They had a special knowledge of God. And you kind of get this idea here in this false teacher, the idea that, well, you know, we're on a different level to you guys. We're perfect. We never do anything wrong. We don't sin anymore. Maybe we did in the past, but not now. We're on a completely different level above you. John says, no. That's not true. That's not right. You see, if we're Christians, we're still going to be wrestling with sin. That's what the Bible teaches us very clearly. It's still going to be a battle day by day, fighting against the flesh. It's an arrogant thing to think that we could actually be perfect now. Think of the Apostle Paul, what a great man of God he was. Listen to his words on this. Talking about himself. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want. But I do the very thing I hate. If I do what I do not want, I agree with the law. That is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I can't do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the Apostle Paul is saying, look, you know, the good that I want to do, I don't do it. The Apostle Paul had this battle going on against the flesh. He sins. But the Apostle Paul is having that battle. And so are we, for Christians. And if we're honest, common sense tells us that is the case. If we examine our hearts at all, we know they are not what they should be. John makes it clear. If we turn around saying, well, you know, I've now achieved perfection, well, we're deceiving ourselves. That is not the case. We say we don't sin now. John says we're deceiving ourselves. But finally, the final false teaching on sin, we say we have never had a problem with sin. In verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here the sense is talking about throughout our lives, the idea that actually we've never actually committed sin. We're a good person. It's the classic line when you speak to people outside. If you want to go to them and say, look, are you perfect? Oh, no, I'm not perfect. Are you a sinner? Oh, no. Well, I'm not a sinner. I haven't sinned. I'm okay. I'm pretty good. I'm managing okay. I'm a moral person. I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian, maybe even, they will say. I've got my life under control. I'm not a sinner. You see, the Bible teaches us you need Jesus to save you from your sins. And actually, the response for some people will be, well, actually, I don't, because I haven't sinned. But John says, oh, yes, you have. You are sinners. And if you say that you have not sinned, you are saying that God is a liar. Why? Well, because his word teaches us from the front cover to the end that we are sinners. You read in Genesis 3 about Adam and Eve and the first sin, and how that affects the whole of mankind. And you see throughout the Old Testament how even God's people were faithless to him. How they constantly sinned, and yet God was good, and yes, he's a God of justice as well, but nonetheless, through his grace, he promises an answer to sin. But throughout the Old Testament, we see time and time again, man's failings. We go through and we read in Romans about the fact that we are in Adam, that our very nature is to sin. As part of our fallen nature. But now we need to be in Christ, and our sin will be dealt with. And you can look at places like Romans 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so John quite rightly says, if we claim to be to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. We say to God, you're lying. I've never done anything wrong. In fact, we're totally denying the gospel. We're totally denying God's word. If we haven't sinned, why would we need forgiveness? If we haven't sinned, why would Jesus need to come down to earth? If we haven't sinned, why would he need to go to a cross? What will be the significance of his resurrection if we have never sinned? But John says, no, we have. He's not a liar. We are sinners. And if his word is in us, we will recognize that fact. So there are three things to examine ourselves about. If we claim to be a Christian, is this evidenced in our lives? Is there a change that's evident in our life? Do we recognize that we still are fighting with sin? And do we understand that actually we are sinners, that we have committed sins and we need God's cleansing and forgiveness? This may seem a little bit depressing, just this focus upon sin. But actually it's not. Because if the answer is no to any of those questions that we just asked ourselves, the good news is John's got the answer here in this passage. Look at what he says it means to be a true Christian. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Twice there it speaks about cleansing, about being cleaned, about being purified. We have felt dirty, if you like, because of your sin. And if we had a greater understanding of the purity of God, then I'm sure we would all feel a tremendous sense of dirt. But the good news is this. God is in the cleansing business. He is in the purifying business. He will cleanse us if we will confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that is to be our attitude towards sins. We talked about the false teachers and what their attitude was. But John says the right attitude is actually to recognize its seriousness, but to come to God confessing sin. It's not a lack of interest or the lack of concern. It's not a denial that sin actually exists in our lives or ever did exist in our life. It's coming before God and confessing our sin before him and recognizing that he is the only one who can do anything for us. And if we do that, what will happen? Well, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. We can rely on him. He promises to forgive and cleanse, and he is faithful to his word. He will do it. But he's also just to do it. He can do it. He's in a position to do it. God can't just brush sin under the carpet and pretend it doesn't exist. He's a just God. Justice must be done. So how has that happened? Well, we see the answer in verse 7. The The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Sin needs to be punished, but Christ took our punishment in our place. He was paying the price of our sin. Blood needed to be shed, and it was Jesus' blood that was shed on our behalf. What we need to do is confess, to come before God, and with his help to walk in the light, as John says there, that is, with the help of the Spirit of God, to strive to live in the light of God's word. And if we do that, God will change us. God will transform us. In John's day, there was confusion. There still is today. What is a Christian? Is it someone who is absolutely perfect? No. They're just forgiven and cleansed sinners who are trusting in Jesus' blood alone for this salvation.